welcome to Beyond Casturbers. I'm Christian Cawley. You probably know that the second installment of the third trilogy of the Star Wars movie series is set for release this week. The Last Jedi sees the cast of 2015's The Force Awakens returning to our screens to fight the First Order once more, and obviously features a more substantial role for Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, one of the most iconic characters in cinematic history. It is through Luke Skywalker, Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, that Star Wars fans over the years have embraced the idea of the Jedi, of the Force. I've recently spoken to Daniel M. Jones, the founder of the Church of Jediism. With me is Daniel M. Jones. He is the founder of the Church of Jediism. Am I saying that right? Because I've never seen the word Jediism before. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so you founded this, what, 12 years ago?
No, 10 years ago, so it was 2007.
2007, right. And, I mean, I've read the press release for the book. The book is called Become the Force, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. And it tells me that you founded it, there's a reference to the 2001 UK census in which a lot of people claim that they were Jedi.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, were you one of those people?
Yes, of course I was. But I say that the movement came as a sparked interest because of that point. I was like, wow, you know, there's people who want to, there's a bunch of people doing it for a joke, but then a bunch of people were like, hey, this could be something cool. And I was one of those people, and I thought, God, we should do something cool about it.
Well, a lot of people might think that, but setting up an actual religion, that rather than saying, I don't know, like a weekly meetup and, you know, talking about Star Wars, setting up an actual religion, I mean, that has got to be like a big step.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, but it doesn't. It's not as difficult as it may sound, you know. I think it's just kind of like you just say that you are something, and that's what it is, you know. You just say like, this is it. I'm here. I'm doing this, and that's what it is. But it was easy because everybody wanted it, you know. Like, there's a bunch of people who wanted that, those life lessons. A bunch of people who believed in that kind of those idiosyncrasies. So I thought like, it was just so much easier to do than a lot of people kind of anticipate, like think, wow, you must be crazy to set up a new kind of church or religion or a life philosophy. And I thought, well, no, it was super, super interesting, super easy. We just said, you know, what we were all about, and everybody else helped kind of push it forward. And that was one of the main things about it. Like I was saying this earlier, that you don't have, you know, if you have the readings or the teachings of one man, then it becomes the definition of a cult, isn't it? But when you have the combined efforts and the growing input from your entire membership, then it's a movement, and that's what we are.
Okay. So, for example, you've got by 2007. So you've got six films of Jedi-ness. So, I mean, have you taken Jedi elements from those, or have you expanded universe resourced as well?
Yeah, no, we don't really go to the expanded universe of, like, the books and the graphic novels, because I find like that kind of, I kind of get away with it a bit, and it'll get crazy and complex, and then you'll have kind of bitching and moaning between the group. But I think the movie is 100% that we take pretty much all of the stuff from, but then we take the principles of the movies and then kind of expand on those through the areas that George Lucas kind of set out, the Star Wars principles of Jediism.
Okay. And how many members of the church are there?
Well, there's a number that we put about, and there's I would say that we have about 500,000 followers worldwide or globally, and 500,000 because of the fact that our Facebook's got like 15,000 on there. We've got about 5,000 on our email database, and various other few thousands on all the other socials. But our website, more in particular, gets between like, I don't know, 19,000, 30,000 hits a day, which is pretty impressive. And because of that, because we've been around for this amount of time, I would say that the people who follow us is close to probably 500,000, maybe a bit more than that as well. But that's how we get that figure, you see.
That's fascinating. And I suppose that is a reason for having a book, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the book was always on the cards as something that we wanted to do, and I think that you know, the book needed to happen because people needed a start, like a basic, like a point one. You know, where do we go from here? So if they wanted to get involved, because like a lot of people say, how do I get involved? How do I do stuff with the TCOJ or the Church of Jediism? And then I say, like, well, I used to say, come to the website and then we'll talk and discuss things in our groups. And it was so, it wasn't as organized as I wanted it. So now the process is that they have the book and then you complete the book and then you go onto the website and there's training on the website that they can go on and they study. And there's, you know, there's hours and hours and hours of study material on there and visual material. So it's really cool now that the platform we have for members.
When I say church, to most people, that there's certain things that they will picture immediately. Such as a building,
yeah,
a Bible, which I suppose perhaps become the force possibly fulfills the role of.
Yeah.
Then there's the services. Now I'm going to ask you: do you do funerals, marriages, and baptisms?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. So I thought you were going to say no. I was going to say, well, that's kind of disappointing, but that's great. That's great. So so presumably there is some sort of lead person within the church, would that be you?
Yeah, I'm the figurehead, if you like. Yeah.
Okay. So, to the book, it's out now and it's $12.99, I believe.
Yeah, actually, it's on sale this week on Amazon. You can get it for about £8 on Amazon right now, which is
excellent.
Pretty impressive. Yeah,
excellent. And there are 9 lessons in the book.
Yes.
Now, what sort of things are they covering?
It covers stuff like emotional control, healthy living, martial arts, force theory, mindfulness, intelligence of a student. You know, so basically all the principles that we put down to that people should start at a basic level is what's in the book, and it's the 9 main ones that we put in there.
Okay. Is there, I wonder, how do you see this going beyond Star Wars? Could this have a life of its own beyond Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I would say a good 20% of our members don't even like Star Wars or are not connected to Star Wars fandom in any way. So to me, it's kind of like it pushes beyond that because Star Wars was like the seeding material that it needed to push something like this forward. And going beyond that, I think it's got massive ground and huge membership to take it forward to do some amazing things, some really good stuff in the world.
Is there, I wonder, a possibility for what seems to be a collection of very good ideas to be distorted by dogma in your church, as may have happened in other churches over the past 2,000 years?
I suppose so, but the only advantage we've got is that we're an intellectual, technological advantage to the people of old. So, you know, back in the day, very little people read or could write, so they'd have to really rely on the clergy to talk to them about things that were written down. So they could have said anything they wanted to.
Sure.
So I suppose dogmatic following happened because, well, it was going to happen. People were going to take advantage, and I believe that's what we're faced with now, especially with Christianity and all those other kind of religions. But now it's well documented. It's very well accessible. You can even have the computer speak at my book to you if you really must, and there's an audio version of it available, so there's no way this can get confused with occultism or like a dogmatic sense of religion.
The book's out in November. It's already out now, so it's available to buy, and presumably you've cleverly timed that to take advantage of the fact that there's a new Star Wars movie out. And if that sounds like I'm criticizing your cynicism, I'm absolutely not, because that would be exactly what I would do.
I just think it worked just perfectly well.
Good synchronicity. Is there, you mentioned that there's people in the Church of Jediism who don't like Star Wars or don't like it that much or whatever. What about yourself? How are you with Star Wars?
I love Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is everything. I mean, I grew up on Star Wars. You know, I've been fascinated with it since I was a little boy. And I've always been a big fan, and it kind of, Star Wars that led me to do this, so of course I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
So you're 30 now, so you would have been quite young when the prequel trilogy came out.
Yeah, so I was in high school when the prequel trilogy came out. About, I don't know, maybe 14 or 15.
Okay, so were they the first movies you'd seen, or had you already seen the original?
No, I'd seen all the older ones, because they had just come out on VHS.
Oh, done the special editions as well, hadn't they?
Yeah, but that came out a lot after, because I was born in 86, so by the time I was kind of like 4 or 5 years old and I started watching the movies, they weren't that old, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they weren't,
yeah, yeah.
They were still relatively new, you know, like, and you know, everyone had the VHS tape, so they weren't that old. So so that was kind of cool. So I was on it, you know, from the word go. Maybe not going to the cinema to see the originals, but you know.
How are you enjoying the new movies?
I love them. I really do. I think that Force Awakens was phenomenal. And then the Rogue One was cool, apart from everybody dies, which is kind of a bit of a bummer. But I know it was just like a 0.5 movie. You know, it was an in-between two movies, and that was cool. But I think, yeah, it could have... I don't know, Rogue One could have been a bit more happier. But, you know, that's just me being picky. I'm very excited about tonight's movie, because I'm going to go see it today.
Okay,
today's
cool.
13th, so I'm going at midnight tonight to see the new movie. So super excited about that.
Excellent. I've always wanted to go to the cinema at midnight, but I'm always worried about how much I'll be able to eat at that time of day. Because, you know, your metabolism slows down at night, doesn't it?
It does.
So, yeah, you know, you could end up with, like, not being able to fit in your clothes next day.
it is true. You probably could. But I think the idea is to eat and then go there and just, like, I don't know, just drink a whole litre of water or something during the movie.
Now, that can be distracting for everyone else in the cinema, though, can't it? When you're sort of like trotting out every 15 minutes to go take a leak. But
yeah. Well, you got to plan your seat, man. You got to have a seat next to the point. You know? That's what
we're talking about. I mean, can you give me an example of one of the lessons in the book? I mean, obviously, you're not going to give me the whole book, but can you give me an example? What maybe, you know, something to do with maybe the martial arts thing? What's going on there?
Okay, so the martial arts part of the book, we talk about, because I grew up in a martial arts environment. My father's a martial artist. He's been, oh God, he's got about 5 black belts in karate. He's invented his own style of karate, wow. And he's been a martial artist for about 35 years. So he's a big influence on my life. So in the book, we talk about why martial arts is important, why it's physically and mentally important, but more towards the martial arts that is spiritually awakening, like Tai Chi, for instance. We touch on Tai Chi a lot. And so we encourage people in the book to go and take out Tai Chi lessons. And if... you want to go and do lightsaber battles of kata with katanas, then, you know, that would be cool as well, because there are a bunch of groups that we know, like LA Jedi and Chicago Jedi and things, that actually have lightsaber battles with LED lightsabers, which is super, super cool. But again, not just the symbolism, it's actually giving them, you know, accurate kind of martial arts training, which is awesome. And martial arts training, what we teach in the book, or what we kind of encourage in the book, is getting your body and mind in line with your soul. And by doing that, you align yourself with the universe, and that's what it's all about.
I mean, that basically is martial arts, isn't it? And there's very, I mean, when George Lucas developed Star Wars and the idea of the Jedi, there was a lot of that thinking there, wasn't there? So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you? I don't want to sound like I'm taking the piss, but do you think that could there be ever be a time whereby that whole relationship between man and the universe and the energy that flows around us, could anyone ever manipulate it? Do you think?
100%. I believe people do all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a scientist. I'm a chemist, so I'm a scientist, and I do a lot of research in quantum mechanical. There's not a lot of research to be done there, because everything we know about it is there, as much as we can grasp from it. But the research I do in those areas kind of points me in the direction that there must be people doing it right now. I believe there's well documented evidence of this. Some of the team members I work with in the Church of Jedi, and we've well documented telekinesis, psychokinesis. And then I also believe that different energy forms, like zero point energy or quantum vacuum energy, are propulsion systems that other civilizations probably do use to get around the universe, more so than we do, just with, like, you know, fossil fuels.
Sure. Okay, so that's and is that something that you talk about in the book?
I do go into the scientific approach to certain things. Yes, I do.
So, Daniel, is there anything that you would like to say to anyone who might be interested in buying the book? Is there any reason why they should definitely go out and buy it?
Yeah, I think so. I think the book is great. If someone's a Star Wars fan and they've always wanted to be a Jedi, or they wanted to self-discover who they are and, like, do something awesome with their life, this book definitely does that. It does. It sparks a fire in you to go and do something amazing, and I love that about it. It's really getting people to do what they should be doing in life. Don't just settle for the rat race, you know. Go out there and do something amazing. And that book does definitely promote that, and it will change your life. If you follow what we say in the book, it'll change your life in a way where you'll get out of that horrible, mundane, depressing feeling of, oh, it's Monday, to being like, yeah, it's Monday, I'm gonna kick some ass.
Okay.
Seriously.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of Mondays myself, but that's because I escaped. I'm totally on board with you there. Okay, well, Daniel M. Jones, thank you very much. Become the Force is available to buy now. It's $12.99 is normal price. As Daniel mentioned, it is on sale at the moment, and you can find it on Amazon, and there'll be a link in the show notes. Thanks very much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.
So a big thanks to Daniel M. Jones, founder of the Church of Jediism, for taking the time to speak with us, and good luck to him with his book, Become the Force. There's a link in the show notes to the book, which you'll be able to find on Amazon. And we're sure it'll be a fascinating read. We'll be back next time with another podcast. And look out for our review of The Last Jedi. Until next time, it's goodbye.
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.